Welcome back to another Edge Got In podcast. Thank you for joining us today. If you would like to download the PDF for this specific Edge Got In podcast Bible study, you can do so. This one does have a PDF along with the actual podcast 45. You can go to edgegotin.com and simply look for the title of today's podcast, How to Flip Your Suffering into Courageous Victory in Christ. Anybody out there experienced a little suffering in life? Perhaps it's emotional. Maybe it's spiritual suffering. Maybe it's physical suffering. Maybe it's all three. If you've experienced or are experiencing any form of suffering, then this podcast is for you. Or perhaps you've just emerged from the eye of the storm. And this is a way to capture what you've learned by the power of the Holy Spirit, to transform it, move it forward, to give you the grace to stand and be an ambassador for God in this world, and how to use your suffering, flip your suffering, and understanding the value and the power of suffering in, with, and through Christ for a greater good in this world. So visit us at edgegotin.com. You can download the PDF. There's also an additional one sheet for all of our Bible studies, and that can be found under the resources section as well. Welcome to another Edge Got In podcast. We're glad you're joining us today. And I will begin this one because this is definitely a powerhouse Bible study, one that we can all gain from, being that if you are a human being, then you have experienced suffering in some way. So can you imagine if we can learn how to flip suffering into a positive space for growth and an ultimate greater good in this world? Wow, how much mind space would be freed up to do good for God. Dear Lord, we pray in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are blind to the power of suffering in our lives, so much so that we seek out ways to destroy that which causes us to suffer many times. We give you permission to transform our understanding of suffering as it relates to the wisdom of those who have gone before you and have suffered, and truly understand suffering as it relates to the wisdom through your suffering on the cross, your death and your resurrection. Those people who lived and died in faith, believing in, relying on, and trusting in you as their hope and redeemer over circumstance. Help us to release the fear, all of the fear, around the very experience that delivered salvation into this world, suffering and persecution. Strengthen our weak minds and hearts that are all too often ruled by worldly ways rather than your will and death to self. Help us, God. We dedicate to you this Bible study. I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, you are our rock and our redeemer. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The learning objective for this Bible study is to understand the value and the power of suffering in, with, and through Christ for a greater good for yourself and other people that God has entrusted to your care. We're going to start this Bible study with a powerhouse verse that I actually memorized in college, and it brought me a lot of strength when things didn't go my way, which that happened quite a bit in college when I didn't get the outcomes I wanted. So now as a 52-year-old woman, I still have those days as long as I'm wearing the earth suit and walking through this journey of life. Those moments of suffering, they could be as quick as a word or lack of word from another person, and it causes emotional suffering in the brain, feeling less than, judged, not included, left out. That's a form of suffering, an emotional suffering. It could be a physical suffering. Back in 2006, I was diagnosed with advanced cancer 1 week prior to my divorce court date. My children were 8, 10, and 12 at the time. In less than a two-year period of time, by God's grace and mercy and strength, he met me in the eye of the storm and carried me through the divorce, a double mastectomy, 16 rounds of chemo, an additional year of experimental chemo, 6 weeks of daily radiation, the double mastectomy and the radiation and chemo combination left an open wound for a year on my chest, and it lost blood flow. So they had to graft my back onto my front. So 14 surgeries later, I now have my back on my front. So perhaps you've heard me say, I don't know if I'm coming or going most days, which which is true. So thank God for the Holy Spirit being my virtual assistant, just saying. I went through a MRSA staph infection, two near-death experiences, and by God's grace, I'm still standing. And this is why I'm very passionate about today's topic, because of the upside of suffering, which I feel that we shrink back from. We get scared. We give more power to the struggle, the situation, than we do to our God-given ability to overcome. So this is an invitation to remember whose you are. Remember that you have the same spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the grave. You have the mind of Christ. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is nothing that you cannot do in Christ. Many times I'll hear in a coaching situation, I keep trying and nothing's working out for me. I've tried that. Nothing's working out for me. And the language when we use, I keep trying, or I just can't do it, comes from that place of the flesh that focuses on the struggle, the waves. When Peter stepped out of the boat, that's focusing on the waves versus your Savior, the situation versus the Savior. So the verse, you can tell I've got a little ADD going on here, so stick with me with this. Deuteronomy 30, 19 through 20. This is the verse that I memorized as a college student, and it came back to help me as I went through advanced cancer and divorce as well. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today, Deuteronomy 30, 19 through 20, that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Now, choose life in order that you may live, that you may, and you and your descendants, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice and holding fast to him. For this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them. Now, he's talking about the promised land. He's talking about a promise fulfilled. When we give our suffering more power than we do to Christ's power within us to resurrect a strength to overcome, then we have lost sight of the promised land that God has given us, the promise that he's declared for us. So let's step into this study on suffering and how to understand the power of suffering in our lives personally with Psalm 37:3. Trust in, lean on, rely on God. Trust in, lean on, rely on God, and do good. Continue to do good in the midst of suffering. Let's take a look at Jesus' experience with suffering first and foremost, because after all, you guys, we're followers of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And when we give power to the circumstance, we're not following Christ. Talk about ADD moment. We are following a shiny object, a trinket, a belief system that is controlling the victory that is ours in Christ. Jesus promises us victory. Behold, you will have trouble in this world, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Jesus is very familiar with suffering, which gives him the ability, because we have the same spirit that rose Jesus from the grave, to speak life into our suffering. This is what we forget, that suffering, God does his greatest good in the midst of suffering. Why do we run from it? Why do we at all costs try to remove it from our lives when it is the very thing that birthed salvation into this world through Christ's suffering, passion, and resurrection? And yet we run from it, the uncomfortable feeling of suffering in any way. And we want to rescue people that are going through suffering. You don't deserve this. You don't ever deserve to suffer like this. I've also heard this statement, you have a right to step away from this suffering. That's another phrase that's commonly used. And so when I really leaned into that, considering my own suffering, this came to me when I was in the midst of a lot of nerve pain after the double mastectomy. They put tubes in. The nerve pain was so tremendous, I couldn't even breathe. And it cascaded all the way down, both sides, all the way down to my feet, around my back, up through my jaw. And it was so acute, I thought I was going to pass out a few times. And it lasted for several days. And this was just one of many physical times when I was rendered in a place of wanting to give up because the suffering was so intense. I cried out to the Lord. I've cried out to the Lord and asked Him to strengthen me with the strength of the Holy Spirit that strengthened Him in the garden when He said, "Take this cup from me. Deliver me." Jesus even asked. There's nothing wrong, you guys, with asking to be delivered from suffering. We want to save those who are suffering around us. It's our human nature to do so. However, we're followers of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And that makes all the difference in our ability to move through suffering in a way that we actually have an upside, which Will speaks very specifically about. What is the upside of suffering? Whatever you focus on grows bigger, the reticular activating system. If you focus on the suffering, guess what? Grows bigger. If you focus on Christ's strength in the midst of suffering, guess what? That reticular activating system starts to hunt and gather information, particularly in the scriptures, to contradict the impoverished view that you can't handle it. I've been there. So I'm not saying this just from book knowledge. I'm saying this from boots on the ground of experiencing acute suffering for 5 years, on and off. And I can assure you of this: with every storm, whether it be physical, emotional, spiritual, Jesus comes too. And He does His greatest work the deeper the suffering, if we're open to receive that strength. So Jesus' experience with suffering, Isaiah 53:3. He was despised, rejected by mankind. This is emotional suffering. This is the suffering that comes when people overlook you, say unkind things against you. This goes into the depth of abuse, emotional abuse. A man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised. And we held him in low esteem. Now, I've never experienced the suffering that comes from being despised from other people, at least not openly to my face. I've had moments of outrage from people that was just misplaced anger and I happened to be in their way. I've never experienced the depth of being despised. I've worked with clients that have walked through that dark night. Jesus experienced this and can strengthen us with that same experience that He had. 1 Peter 3:18-19. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Suffering was the archway through which you got access to eternity and fellowship and intimacy with God through Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Suffering was the archway. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, He went and proclaimed to the imprisoned spirits. 1 Peter 3:18-19. How do we flip suffering into the courageous victory in Christ? How do we do that? What does that look like? I want to share a little story with you from one of the many stories I have during those 5 years. My oncologist told me that I was going to be losing my hair in 2 weeks after the Red Devil chemo kicked in, first or second round of it. I chose to trust that God would help me to keep my hair. Right? So I kept proclaiming victory over the loss of my hair and would pray this daily and do a little hair test. Well, at the end of the 14th day, I grabbed hold of my hair and a big clump came out. And instantly, I had a choice point. I could have gone into the blame game, victimization, sense of entitlement. I have a right to keep my hair, God. Why didn't you answer me? Why don't you give me the grace? I prayed for you. I trusted you. I was on my knees every day asking for me to keep my hair. And on the 14th day, it went out. I could have chose that way. And at times I have picked that space of sense of victimization and entitlement. This time, though, the power of the Holy Spirit was within me, so much so that I had a choice point to do something good with it. And that was really clear. The voice that came to me was, what do you want to do about it? And what do you want to do about it? And what do you want to do about that? Which instantly catapulted me into the frontal cortex of my brain, which God created for solution. And I thought, okay, I'm going to give it away. I'm going to give it to Locks of Love. My hair was halfway down my back. And so that afternoon, I went with my three children to Locks of Love, and they tied it up in a bunch of ponytails and began to clip these thick ponytails off one by one. As I sat there, I started to see the distress on my children's faces. And it kept getting worse and worse. And I was holding it in. I was holding it all in. And I was saying, it's okay. It's still mommy. Don't worry. They were 8, 10, and 12 at the time. And my mom was with me. And it got pretty intense in terms of I could see the internal suffering on my kids' faces, seeing me lose my hair. And fear started to creep in. By the way, to have courageous victory in Christ, there's one thing I know to be true about courage. There's one emotion that's always present with courage, and that's fear. Don't fear fear. Feel the fear and go for it anyway. There's a fun book about that a while ago, I think in the 80s. Feel the fear and go for it anyway. To have courage is to feel fear, and in spite of fear, you still go for the target. You still go for your goal to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your suffering. To invite Jesus' strength to carry you through the suffering, to trust that God is able and capable of carrying you through any form of suffering, emotionally, physically, or spiritually. And so back to the scene of giving my hair away, they tried to put a wig on. I didn't like it. I just had them take the wig off. And we got in the car, we were driving home, and my mom could tell I was literally like straining to hold in the tears. And the kids were just silent in the back. And my mom was driving, and she whispered something to me I'll never forget. She said, Lauren, why are you withholding from your children the opportunity for you to see, for them to see and not be afraid of suffering? Why would you hold back the opportunity for letting them into this experience so that they don't fear suffering in their life, so that they can see how you're victorious in the midst of suffering, that it's okay to feel, it's okay to cry? Why would you withhold that amazing opportunity to help them as they go through their journey of life? And that literally stopped me in my tracks. So she gave me some time in the car, and I remember I just let it loose. I cried so hard. My kids jumped in the front seat and they were touching my hair and running their little fingers through my hair. And I remember them, one of them saying, Mommy, don't cry. God is with you. So here they are, an opportunity for them to remind me that God is with me, that he's bigger than this. My son at one point said, Mommy, don't cry. Your soul still has hair. My children had the opportunity to remind me that God was bigger than this, and that God restores. This is what we forget when we give suffering the power to define our sense of safety. And my one child said, don't worry, Mommy, it's like the grass. They mowed it down and it'll grow back with flowers. So I would have missed out on that moment had I not opened up the doorway, the pathway of my suffering, and invited my kids in so we could work through it together. The other thing that we did is we had a worry jar at the table and with pens and paper, and they were able to put their worries in, write them in there. And then at night we'd all play the psychologist and we'd pull out one of the little worries and read it to everybody at the table. And one time I remember my daughter, before I lost my hair, I'm afraid to see my mommy bald, BLD. And my son took that one and said, reminded her that it's okay. It's still mommy and it's going to grow back. So he had the opportunity to encourage. Wow. Look at that. Look at that upside of all this suffering already. This is just a small little snippet, film clip from my personal experience of going through two of life's top stressors. What are yours? Look for them. If you don't have any yet, from now moving forward, begin to give more authority to the strength of God within you to flip moments of suffering into amazing opportunities for edifying, encouraging, serving, and loving one another. So we have a couple of scriptures with how to flip suffering into courageous victory in Christ. One of them is don't be afraid of suffering. Don't fear it. Lean into it. Ask God to help you use it to be able to encourage and help those people that are watching you. Matthew 5, 10 through 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. This is a form of suffering. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of things against you. Have you ever experienced someone gossiping about you? I have several different times on my journey. It's an incredible opportunity to speak the truth in love and to invite clarity and openness in relationships. For people who falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Jesus is training us. When I was training for my black belt, it's not when you were in the ring. It was what you got when you were outside the ring. So listen closely to this scripture, Matthew 5, 10 through 12. Listen, you guys, you're going to have hardship. You're going to be persecuted. People are going to insult you because you stand for me. We forget that we are not our own. We are created by God, for God, in God, for his purposes. When we think it's all about us, which, by the way, totally flip in and out of that space. What? It's not all about me. And God's calling us out and up to remember, hey, I bought you with a price. I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope in a future. Do you trust me in your suffering? Will you trust me in your suffering? Jesus also says in Luke 14, 17, and whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. What is your cross? It's your suffering. What is it that you're going through? What's your cross today? Is it a fear that you're not going to be enough? Fear that someone else will get something over you? Anytime that you have an uncomfortable feeling, that can be thrown into the bucket of suffering. That can be tossed into the experience of suffering. Now, we are called to tolerate, to persevere when these things happen. Why? Because we belong to Christ. I'm not talking about people that don't want anything to do with Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I'm talking about people that say, I love Jesus. I love how he showed up, and I want to give my life to him as my Lord and my Savior. Those are the people we're talking to today. We're not talking to people that are in the world, of the world. The world is their place, and they're playing a different game. They're playing the finite game of life. We're playing the infinite game of life with Christ. So in 2 Timothy 3:12, it says, in fact, anyone who wants to live a godly life in Jesus Christ, guess what? You'll be persecuted. You will suffer. Why? Jesus suffered. And we are following Jesus. So good news is, though, whatever he calls us to, that he is faithful. This is a promise we can declare. And I declared it many times when I was suffering. Lord, you said what you call me to, that if you're not going to deliver me from this suffering, you promised to give me the strength to get through it. So I claim that promise. And you also claim the ability in Romans 8:28 to work everything together for an ultimate good. So much so that it far outweighs the momentary suffering. James 1, 2 through 4. So much so that it far outweighs the momentary suffering. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Our light momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. We have no idea, you guys. Suffering is the very tool that is used to produce character. A definition of suffering that we often don't look at is to tolerate. Persecuted, by the way, means to subject someone to hostile or ill treatment. Suffering, a definition for suffering is to tolerate something. What does it mean to tolerate? Tolerate means to allow the occurrence of something that you don't like. You don't want it to happen. I didn't want to go through the experience of the emotional and physical and spiritual pain that I went through in 2006. I often said, I didn't sign up for this, but I signed up to follow Christ. And I know that because I've signed up to follow Christ, he'll give me the strength to move through this, or he'll remove it. Either way, I'm good. Either way, you're good. To tolerate means to allow the occurrence of something, allow it to happen, that one does not like, without interference, to accept or endure with forbearance. All right, so my hair was falling out. All right, so I had a double mastectomy. What did I want to do about it? What do I want to teach my girls about beauty? How did I want to sit before the feet of Jesus and say, transform this so that my daughters know that true beauty is found only in a relationship with you, and understanding their value, their meaning, and significance flows from knowing you, not from hair, not from breasts. What a better way. What a better way to share that. Faith is to believe in, rely on, and trust in God. What we're experiencing right now in our society, you guys, is a crisis in our understanding as Christians of the power and value of suffering. We are also experiencing a crisis of faith. Because if I have faith, if I truly have faith, no matter what pops in front of me, no matter what fear, doubt, worry pops inside my mind, if I have faith that in the promises of God, that He promises never to leave me or forsake me, that He promises to do a greater good than had this not even happened, that He will, after a time of suffering, restore me, making me strong, firm, and steadfast. If I truly believe that, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that is my victory. That is your victory. This has been my victory from my experience with suffering. What is yours? And what do you rely on? Do you rely on what other people say, how other people handle suffering? Or do you go to Christ and say, what do you want me to do about this? What forward action step do you want me to take in order to bring value to this and honor and glorify you? Faith is complete trust or confidence in God, people. To give God more authority than your circumstance, what is it that is bumping you emotionally, causing perhaps momentary suffering? To believe that God is able to bring about a greater good in your life and the lives of those around you than had the suffering or hardship never occurred is faith. This is the faith that the men and women of God throughout the entire scriptures lived and died on. And that's why St. Paul, who wrote many of his books in the New Testament, including Colossians, which we'll read some out of Colossians, that's how he was able to say, after laying out in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the depth of his suffering and scourging and everything that he had gone through. And he's like, people, in spite of these light and momentary troubles, I have victory in Christ. You have victory in Christ. Do you believe that? You know you don't believe it when you start looking for options or escapes. I can't handle this. I need to get out. When you start going for ultimatums. Now, we're not talking about abusive situations. It's important for me to mention that. If you are in an abusive situation, that's a totally different topic that requires forward action steps to get yourself in a place of safety. We're talking about daily suffering or suffering from physical ailments, emotional ailments, which requires taking forward action steps with God's grace and guidance. Now, I'm still wearing the earth suit. God sent me lots of different resources that I ask, send me what I need, dear God, in order to heal and restore. I drink aloe vera every day. I take cellular defense. I drink Bragg's apple cider vinegar before bed to balance my glucose levels because cancer cells feed on sugar. There's several things that I do in my own journey in order to continue to maintain health and wellness, which I asked for and God provided, because my time on earth wasn't done. Now, if my time on earth, because God creates us in the womb, and when we come out, He had all the days, He has planned to prosper us and not to harm us. He knows, it's no surprise to Him when our days are ending. We live in a toxic world. God doesn't cause these things to happen. This is part of living in a toxic world, a sinful world. People have turned away from God. As a result, we've got toxins in our environment, our food, and as a result, we're seeing an increase in different diseases that happen. This is not our home. We are pilgrims here. As St. Paul says, hey, I'm living in this tent. Whether I stay or go, it's really no big deal. But you know what? I'm going to stay because it's God's grace that I stay for your benefit. So trust God in your timing as well. What's the unique upside again? Let's sum this up. Upside of suffering in this life as a follower of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. One, it produces perseverance and confidence to handle the hardship of life. I can tell you this, after going through advanced cancer, when something comes up, something doesn't work out because I have the files of success with Christ in the eye of the storm, my peace is profound. You got this, God. I'm going to give it my best. If it doesn't work out, you've got something better. Two, suffering as a follower of Jesus Christ gives people, us, the opportunity to serve, comfort, and care for other people. I opened my life to people that I had served in ministry, as well as my children, into the experience of the suffering. And as a result, they gained from the opportunity to serve me, which was definitely a shift in my own character, which is three. Number three, it creates perseverance, character, and hope. It's hard to be served when you look at yourself as a strong person. That's a whole other Bible study. So allowing myself to be so weak that I couldn't even get out to take my own shower, and my roommate from college had to carry my body to the shower, jump in the shower with her clothes on and give me a shower because that's the one thing I wanted. That took a lot of surrendering, trusting God, and humility. Character, you never lose it. Don't shrink back from it. Suffering unites us to Christ's sufferings. In resurrection, I never felt closer to God and to Jesus Christ of Nazareth as when I was in suffering. Use the suffering. Someone once told me this, and this is another profound thing I'm just going to throw in here. Someone said to me, "Don't waste your suffering, Lauren." I said, "What do you mean?" They said, "When you're praying, when you're going through suffering, use it as an opportunity to pray for those people who are suffering around the world, united to Christ." And there's something mystical that happens when you do that. When you're suffering and you say, "I lift up my suffering for the sake of salvation of souls. I lift up my suffering for my neighbor who has pancreatic cancer. And she's told she has 6 weeks left to live. I lift up my suffering for a couple that I know is struggling." Use your suffering to fuel passionate prayers for those in need. So it unites us to Christ's suffering and resurrection. And five, it proves the genuineness of your faith, resulting in praise, glory, and honor when Christ is revealed. These are just a few of the upsides of suffering that we get. What do the scriptures say about the value of suffering? This is powerful. And I'm going to end here, and we're going to pick this up. I'm going to be continuing this specific topic later this week with my co-host, Dr. Estella. She's going to jump in, and we're going to explore the second half. On the next part of this particular podcast, we're going to look at Paul's perspective of suffering and how he overcame with everything he went through, as well as Peter's. And then we're going to look at specific verses that you can store in your heart. These are verses that come from suffering in the scriptures and their remedies of what people did. Hey, so since this is happening, stand firm. For example, Exodus 10:10, "I will fight your battle. You have only to be still." Know that God will fight your battle. That stillness is a matter of trust. That stillness is also asking the question, is there anything you want me to do right now? Place it upon my heart to restore life to my relationships, to my body. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. We're going to learn how to use the scripture to lighten the load of suffering so that we can unite our sufferings with Christ, as the scriptures say, and flip it into an ultimate good, a greater good than had the suffering not even occurred. So join us for part two, because it's a very powerful and very timely topic. My goodness, my brothers and sisters, if we truly master our relationship with suffering and resurrect the power that we give to circumstance, take it back and give it to Christ, throw it into the lap of Christ, the possibilities are endless in terms of a positive impact in this world. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, sweet Jesus, strengthen our weak minds and hearts that are all too often ruled by the worldly ways rather than your will, and death to self. Resurrect the power of the Spirit within us, the very Spirit that rose your dead, scourged body from the grave. Too often, we give ourselves authority and permission to do what we feel is rightfully ours to do in the midst of suffering. Forgive us for taking into our own hands the power of life and death, which only belongs to you. Teach us the power of a surrendered life to be used for the purposes, for your purposes, which far outweigh the momentary trials and tribulations we face on this earthbound journey. Forgive us for forgetting that we're created by you. We think we're created by us, so then we have our rights to do what we want moving forward. The only choice point we have, sweet Jesus, is our ability to choose you, to surrender to you, to live a surrendered life. Not our will be done, but your will be done. This day you set before us life and death, blessings and curses. Help us, dear God, to choose life, that we may live, that we may love you with all of our heart, and we may live in and for you, for your glory. In your most precious name we pray. Amen. Please listen to this podcast again. Look for that one thing that you can grab to edge God into your suffering today. You're looking for that one thing. Perhaps it's three things, one to three things that really struck your heart by the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's yours. The Holy Spirit wants to plant a seed, draw you closer, and encourage you to study more on something you've heard from today. So give the Holy Spirit permission to take this study where it's meant to go, so that you do not live in fear of suffering. And you remember that the strength of the Spirit within you is greater than circumstance. Who is it that overcomes the world? Who is it that overcomes suffering, hardship, difficulty? He who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So followers of Christ, we have victory. Let's claim it. Even in the midst of our hardship, with every storm, Jesus comes too. God bless you. I look forward to our next podcast, and enjoy your gift of life. Give more authority to Christ within you than to your struggle today. Visit us at edgegodin.com, championing human potential in Christ.